Hi, and welcome to the Conservative Roots Podcast. Today is Thursday, January 13th, 2022 already. Halfway through January, basically. I was going to come on here yesterday, and I have to admit, I thought I was getting COVID. I took the day off again yesterday because I would say for the last, couple of weeks, not even that long, I've felt a little bit stuffy in the nose, especially at night when I go to lie down and sleep and everything. And also, just my breathing in general was a little bit off. I felt pretty good in terms of energy, but I wasn't feeling too good with the breathing and especially my nose and everything. But last night, I actually started to feel something in my throat. I started to feel a little bit of a pressure in my throat, like somebody had a finger pressed on me a little bit. And I started getting kind of hot flashy. So I took my temperature. I'm normally around 97, and it started bouncing around like a degree and a half, not that much. The worst I got to was 98.9, which I used to think that was almost normal because I said, well, 98.6 is normal. I'm finally up where I should be. And then everybody I know was telling me, no, that's like ancient history. You're supposed to be at like 97.7. I'm like, when did that change? And they started calling me old man and out of touch and all that kind of stuff. Hey, I'm an old man. I'm a Gen Xer. So, I guess that info passed me up. Anyway, since I wasn't feeling good the last couple of days, I decided to try out Dr. Zelenko's technique with the zinc, the D, the C, and the quercetin. Now, obviously, when he started, for those of you that don't know, Zelenko is the doctor in New York. Forget what town he's from. He's from north of New York City. You've seen him all over the news. He was the guy that started using hydroxychloroquine in his town right away, treating a lot of the Jewish population that lived in his town. Pretty much, I think, where Trump got the idea to start talking about hydroxychloroquine. What he was doing was using hydroxychloroquine and zinc and, some other things, and it was working very well. And, of course, after the FDA in their infinite wisdom and the government came down on hydroxychloroquine because it works and, you can't have that, got to have the big pharma pushing the vaccines, he came up with something else. Basically, what this doctor was saying, what Zelenko was saying, is that zinc will go in and kill the virus, but zinc alone can't get into the cells to kill the virus. It needs something to get through the pathway. And hydroxychloroquine used to do that and still does do that. But he found another thing called quercetin does the same thing. So he packaged up this deal, quercetin, zinc, C and D all together, put it in a pill, and he's been selling those at what he calls the Z-Pack. Now, I didn't actually buy that because I had everything together. I had zinc, C, and D all together already. The only thing that I was missing was the quercetin, so I bought that separately. And I took that. And then, so I took that, I think, at night a couple of nights ago, and then yesterday I took it in the morning and immediately started to sneeze all day. And I don't want to get gross, but let's just say lots of things were coming out of my nose. I was like draining my sinuses. Now, do I have irrefutable proof that I was getting COVID? No. Do I have, because I didn't go and take a test, do I have irrefutable proof that this combination of things that Zelenko pushes was what cleared up my sinus and eventually made me feel better? I have no idea. All I can really tell you is that yesterday I didn't feel well. It started to affect my voice. In fact, that's why I just didn't want to do a show because my voice was horrible. I got nervous because I started getting a headache. And I know a lot of people that got COVID were talking about, they got massive headaches and stuff like that. So I was like, oh, here we go. I sit here and I talk about COVID all the time and how I walk around, with no mask and I'm not afraid of it and everything. And watch, I'm going to get COVID and I'm going to get it bad. Don't know if I have no idea if that's what I was getting or I was just getting the common cold or whatever. And I can't even really tell you if taking Zelenko's remedy is what cleared it up. But all I can tell you is that I took that like two or three times yesterday. And when I woke up this morning, aside from having still a little bit of a stuffy nose, I feel fine. Temperature is normal. I'm not feeling hot flashes. My throat is fine. Feeling really good. I'm going to keep taking this, you know, this solution, whatever you want to call it, for the probably the next week or so, just to be on the safe side. And so maybe, you know, even if I was getting the common cold, maybe there's something to this fighting that too. I don't know. You know, give it a shot is all I'm saying. Also going to get ivermectin through a friend of mine who actually had COVID already. Out where they are in Pennsylvania, there's a clinic that is distributing ivermectin for human use. You know, they have it in pill form, dosed out for humans. And I'm going to have that sent to me as a precaution just to have on hand. You know, whether I one day get COVID or not, it's nice to have ivermectin on hand just in case. And, you know, I know a lot of elderly people. If somebody that I know around me gets COVID, I can also give it to them, you know. So anyway, that was my deal yesterday. That's why I wasn't on yesterday like I wanted to be. And my voice is still, you know, a little suspect maybe. So I'm going to try to keep this down a little bit under an hour like we did last time. Now, speaking of last time, we talked about how a lot of the things that we've been talking about for the longest time, all of our conspiracy theories are being proved to be correct. We're the ones that are not out of our minds. And the left is the ones that are out of their minds. That's just been continuing. That was like a week or so ago that I did that podcast. And that has just been continuing. We're getting a lot of wins on our side now. I don't know if you notice this. I know if you just listen to the mainstream media and you listen to celebrities and you know mainstream news and stuff like that, you might still think that we're continuing to lose. Kind of doesn't look that way. I really think that at this point, there's kind of a snowball effect happening where we've reached a certain point where all of the lies that the left has told over the past 2 years has caught up to them. And if you, I don't know how long a lot of you have been listening to me, but I've been saying for the longest time, now I haven't been right about everything at all. I'm not one of these people that's going to sit here and say, I've gotten it right all the time. In fact, I've gotten it wrong most of the time. I'll admit that because I look to these people, you know, well, not really anymore, but I used to look to Republicans and I used to look to the system and say, this is how things should work out. You know, this is the law. This is the truth. And this is how things should happen. And of course, a lot of the things that we thought were going to happen didn't happen because Republicans sat on their ass, didn't do anything about it, didn't fight, accepted the steal, accepted everything that was happening, and didn't put up any resistance. How things should have happened and how things did happen are two separate things. Now, does that mean it's going to be that way forever? No, and here's why. If you've been listening to me for the longest time, you know, one of the things that I have been talking about is that eventually the truth will come out. If something is the truth, there's almost no way to hide it anymore. You can try. And one of the things that we should be grateful for is that we're no longer living in the 1800s, the early 1900s. You know, good or bad, cell phones, internet, instant communication, blogs, websites, text messaging, all of the things that, yes, are in a way detrimental to society, detrimental to kids, maybe bad for our mental health in a lot of ways when it's abused, also allows us to spread information, also allows us to get information all around the world to people that need to hear it. And it's very, very difficult now for them to stop this. So they can tell a lie. They can tell a million lies. But when the truth is out there, it is eventually going to come out. Had we been living in the 1800s, had we been living in 1920s, the 1940s, maybe even up into the 50s and 60s, 70s, we would be in a lot more trouble right now because everything that they used to do, all the lies that they used to tell, there was no way for us to find out the truth. Okay, what did we have? Let's even look at the 1960s, 1970s. We had very few television stations. We had the major networks for the news programs. They got on there every night, 6 o'clock news and 11 o'clock news, told us what was going on from the liberal standpoint. Granted, it was less liberal then than it is now, but it was still liberal. Told us what the agenda was, told us what, you know, the story of the day was, and we all accepted it. You know, there was no other viewpoints. There was no counter news. There was no conservative pushback or any other ideologies that you could listen to. It was just that. It was whatever the state wanted you to hear, that's what you heard, even in America. Now, think about what it was. I mean, if that's how it was in America, think about the rest of the world, right? Now, not so much. They can't pull the wool over our eyes anymore. So that's why I used to say in all these podcasts in the past, when we were talking about the election and everything, look, yes, things are not going well. All right, they're lying about this. Everything that the Biden administration is saying is a lie. Everything that the courts are saying is a lie. All of these people are lying. But how long can that last? Lies are going to come out. What we're seeing now is two, and we're going to talk about this. This is what the episode is going to be about. We're going to talk about more of the lies of the pandemic coming out, coming into light. And January 6th now, all of that is falling apart for them. So that leaves one more thing, the election. If they're losing the narrative on the pandemic and they're losing the narrative on January 6th, what do you think the next thing is going to be, right? The election. So we have a lot of hope going forward. Speaking of that, speaking of the good news continuing, the big news of the day here, Supreme Court blocks Biden's OSHA vax mandate for private businesses in a 6-3 vote. It went down. You shouldn't say party lines when you're talking about the Supreme Court, because they're supposed to be impartial, but let's just face it, we know that they're not. So the six quote-unquote conservative judges ruled against it, and the three liberal judges voted to uphold it. Now, this was the mandate for private businesses with 100-plus employees. They did allow the healthcare worker rule to remain. That was a completely different ruling. There were two separate rulings today, one for the 100-plus employee OSHA-mandated vaccine mandate for, you know, for those businesses, private businesses. Like, think to yourself, Walmart, you know, Home Depot, major corporations, if you work for Pepsi, if you work for UPS, all that stuff. All of those large companies with 100-plus workers are, they cannot mandate the vaccine anymore. Now, what I would like to know is how many of you out there decided that you did not want to get the vaccine and you were forced out of your job because of this mandate, which was never a law. It was basically a suggestion by the president. And all of these companies that decided that they were going to push this on their employees and had people fired, I wonder how many lawsuits there's going to be now. I hope that a lot of these companies are actually obliterated by lawsuits, because they had no reason, no real reason to comply with this mandate. All it was the president, that old doofus, getting up there and saying, this is what you need to do. There's no constitutional authority for that, and there was no law made in Congress, and which wouldn't have been constitutional anyway, but it wasn't even a law. It was just the president going up there and abusing executive power and just dictating to the entire business world what they were going to do and what they weren't going to do. Okay? If you're a company, if you're somebody like Walmart or something like that, you just say, no, we're not doing that. Until you can come up with a law, or until it's proven to be constitutional and we have to follow it, we are not going to do that to our employees. But they did. I don't mean to single out Walmart. I'm just thinking of large companies. But they did. So all of the people out there that lost your jobs, that went through financial hardship, or the people that did comply because they were going to lose their jobs, you know, a lot of people did want to take the vaccines. If you're one of those people, if you're one of the people that said, no, I wanted to get the vaccine, I got no problem complying with this, fine, you got nothing to complain about. But if you are somebody that absolutely did not want to get the vaccine, and the only reason that you did was because you were afraid of not being able to provide for your family, you didn't want to lose your mortgage payment, you have got a car payment, all of that stuff, and you thought, what am I going to do if I lose my job? I'm being forced, I'm going to have to do it, right? Okay, now, suppose some of those people suffered complications from the vaccine. Suppose they got the shot and they got myocarditis. Suppose they got the shot and they got blood clots or any number of symptoms, okay? Or they were just coerced and nothing happened. I hope that these people sue. They need to. And I'm, you know, even if it's not for millions, even if it's to get their job back plus lost wages plus, you know, mental duress or whatever, I don't know. I cannot abide by these companies that bent over to this administration and did this to their employees. Their employees come in every single day, work hard for them, and this is how they're treated. It was absolutely ridiculous. There was no reason for it. There was no proof. There was no support out there in the science world to even back up the fact that the vaccines were going to do anything. As soon as people got the vaccines, there were still people who were vaccinated that were still catching COVID. Okay? I can sort of understand a company wanting to comply if everybody got the vaccine and it actually worked like a vaccine is supposed to do and nobody got COVID. That would have been one thing, but that's not what we saw. Reality was people were getting the vaccine and people were still catching and spreading the disease. So what is the point of a mandate? Now let's move over to the one about healthcare. All right, so we had a 6-3 ruling against the OSHA one for 100-plus employees. Now let's go over to the healthcare one. I'm going to take this from the Gateway Pundit. In a separate, simultaneously released ruling, the highest court of the land in a 5-4 vote allowed a similar vaccine mandate for healthcare facilities that receive Medicaid and Medicare to stand. Conservative Justice Samuel Alito, Neil Gorsuch, Amy Coney Barrett, and Clarence Thomas dissented. Alito wrote the dissent and he said, "I do not think that the federal government is likely to be able to show that Congress has authorized the unprecedented step of compelling over 10 million healthcare workers to be vaccinated on pain of being fired," Alito wrote. However, Kavanaugh and Roberts sided with the lefties in the court. Now, who would have thought Roberts, right? We knew Roberts was going to flip, obviously. Roberts looks for a way to flip every time, you know, every chance he gets. Now, okay, he sided with us on the 6-3 ruling, but that was so, so obviously unconstitutional. I don't even know that, you know, he could have flipped. This one, absolutely. And the other one was Kavanaugh, who I have said I don't fully trust. I'm not ever going to fully trust him. Maybe I'm being a little bit hard on the guy, but when I saw him start crying when they were grilling him and the way he broke down under that questioning, which was just absolutely ridiculous, the stuff that they were saying to him was nuts. He should have been laughing, not crying, right? And then what did he do? For like the next 2 years, he sided a lot with the liberals on cases where I think it should have gone the other way. And it almost seemed like every chance he got to side with the liberals and have it not be such an earth-shattering ruling, he did so because it was almost like he was trying to prove, hey, look, I'm not this conservative guy. I'm not this one-sided guy that you think I am. I'm not always going to vote with the Republicans. Look, here, I'm siding with you. I don't know. There's something about this guy that I just don't trust fully. So he said, "We agree with the government that the Health and Human Services Secretary's rule falls within the authorities that Congress has conferred upon him," the majority wrote. "After all, ensuring that providers take steps to avoid transmitting a dangerous virus to their patients is consistent with the fundamental principle of the medical profession, first do no harm," the majority opinion read. All right, again though, had we seen something like the vaccination, you know, the people that are vaccinated not spreading the disease, not catching the disease, again, this ruling would possibly make sense. You're in a healthcare setting, you're bringing sick people, immunocompromised people into a closed setting of a hospital. You want to try to keep them safe, right? So if the vaccine worked, you could almost say, look, I'm sorry, but you're a medical professional. You're going to be around this person. We know that the masks don't work, all right? The doctors would have to be in a hazmat suit. That's not going to fly. So you could almost see how this would work, right? But problem is, again, it doesn't matter if you have the vaccine or not. You can still catch and spread COVID. So this ruling really doesn't make any sense. Now, the one that I'm very much unsure of is there is yet a third mandate, and that mandate is for federal workers and federal contractors. Now, right now, there's a lower court decision that is blocking that mandate as well, but that's still, I think, going through the court system, and that is hopefully going to go up to the Supreme Court eventually, because I do think that the Supreme Court would also strike this one down. There's no reason why, if you're somebody, let's say, for example, I've got a friend out in Pennsylvania that works in an ordnance factory. They make bombs. It's a government contracted job, obviously. There's a vaccine mandate there. Now, I don't know the size of the company. I don't know if it's 100 plus people or if it's a smaller company with less than 100. I'm assuming it's probably way more than 100. Why would they have to be vaccinated just because they're making something for the federal government? It makes no sense whatsoever. So if that goes to the Supreme Court, I think that would get struck down too. But all in all, another big win. It's a very big win today for that. You know, going back to the medical workers one, the second ruling that we talked about with Kavanaugh, this is kind of a problem, because right now we are facing shortages in hospitals, and the left will try to, you know, they're going to try to make you believe that the reason that hospitals are being swamped and having problems is because so many people have COVID that it's just overrunning the hospitals and they can't keep up. One of the bigger issues is the mandates. Hospitals are kind of staffed right to the brink all the time anyway. At any point in the year, the emergency rooms are filled, I think, around to like 80 to 90 something percent capacity anyway. Add in extra people coming in for COVID, and yes, the hospitals are stressed. Now, they're especially stressed when you mandate a vaccine that healthcare workers don't want to take, and they decide, I am not going to work here anymore. I'm going to have medical autonomy. I'm going to make the decisions with my own body. I'm not going to be coerced. Thank you for the job, but I'm leaving. Okay. A lot of people have done that. Now, here's an article. If this is from California, I'm going to take this from the Gateway Pundit too. After firing unvaxxed healthcare workers, California tells COVID-positive medical workers to stay on the job. This is the level of insanity that we're at, okay? Let's read this article. It looks like the vaccine mandates are going well. California is now telling COVID-positive medical workers to stay on the job after firing all unvaxxed healthcare workers in October. Governor Gavin Newsom required all healthcare workers to be fully vaccinated by September 30th. Thousands of healthcare workers who worked during the height of the pandemic in 2020 and most of 2021 were fired or suspended for refusing to get jabbed. Several hospitals in California are now overwhelmed due to staffing shortages, so the experts are now saying that COVID-positive medical workers should stay on the job if they are asymptomatic. To be clear, unvaxxed medical workers with natural immunity cannot work, but vaxxed COVID-positive healthcare employees can show up to work because science. Yahoo News reported, state officials are attempting to address California's staffing shortage through a sweeping policy change that allows asymptomatic healthcare workers who have tested positive for the coronavirus to return to work immediately. This is absolutely insane. And I'm not saying insane because they're allowing COVID-positive people to work, but these people got to the point where they fired people who had antibodies, who had had COVID in the past, recovered from COVID, had natural immunity, which scientists and doctors were saying, and even the CDC was saying, is probably even better than the vaccine. They fired those people because they didn't want to get the vaccine, right? And now they're telling people that are COVID positive, go in there and take care of that patient because they're so understaffed. And now Kavanaugh and Roberts, in their infinite wisdom, side with this nonsense so that there can be even more and longer lasting shortages all over the country, because now they can't actually bring back workers who didn't get the jab and say, look, we want to hire you back. We got a, it was a mistake to fire you. We got a staff shortage here. Our hospital's in real trouble. We're not taking care of our patients the way we need to. Would you come back and work for us? Okay. They can't even do that because the mandate upheld. These people who do not want the shot cannot go back to work unless they get the shot. But if you got the shot and you're COVID positive, you can walk into a room with a 90-year-old man with no immunity and treat him. That's the United States. That's California for right now, but that's probably going to spread. Because what are these hospitals going to do who have major staffing shortages, right? What are they going to do in the meantime until they can hire more and more and more people that are willing to get the jab and go to work? This is what this mandate is doing. You're seeing it here in the hospital and out in the rest of the world, right? You are seeing it with what? The supply chain, right? Telling all of these truckers, you know, you have to get the jab because, you know, you work in a big trucking company. You have, now that's just got struck down, but look at the mess that created. There were a bunch of truckers that said, no, I'm not going to get the vaccine. I'm retiring. I'm going to go do something else. I'm going to go tinker in my basement, whatever. I'm not doing it. I'm not driving your truck anymore. Goodbye. Look at the mess we've had. So these mandates have been causing problems all over the friggin' country. Now, at least the one for the private businesses and with 100 people and over has been overturned, but we still have issues with the healthcare workers. Now, speaking of the CDC, speaking of people in the hospital, and we got a couple of stories that are going to touch on this. More and more and more of what you and I, meaning free thinking Americans, people that didn't follow all this nonsense and buy all of the stories that the leftist media and Fauci and the Biden administration and all that were trying to shove down our throats. We knew what was going on and we've been right. What have we been talking about for, I'd say since around March 2020, April of 2020, we've been saying that people that catch COVID and have a bad time with it for the most part have several comorbidities, right? They stopped talking about that for a long time. In the very beginning, they said, yes, well, there's, you know, some people that are obese or have diabetes or have heart failure or something like that. They are more likely to die from COVID. And I don't know if that became something that hurt people's feelings or it was just something that triggered the left or they just wanted to make sure that everybody took the vaccine. So they just said, oh, everybody's in danger of COVID, even little children, even kids who had a better chance of leaving their house every day and getting hit by a car or having a tree fall on them than dying from COVID. They needed to be masked. They needed to get the jab too, right? Now, finally, where are we here? This article is from January 10th, 3 days ago. The CDC director, Walensky, finally admits that the vast majority of COVID deaths had not one, not two, not three, but at least four comorbidities. At the same time in England, the head director of, you know, medical whatever over there, whatever they call them, they admitted that most people that died over there had up to six comorbidities. So you're talking about, and I'm not saying that everybody, I know that there are people out there who caught COVID, they were 20 years old, they were athletic and in shape and muscular and whatever else, and they died. Okay, I get that. But the vast majority of people who had a problem with COVID and wound up dying or in serious, serious trouble in a hospital were very, very sick to begin with. Obesity probably being the number one, right? And then heart problems, diabetes, cancer, all kinds of issues. And the vast majority of people that died had at least four major health problems at the same time. According to Walensky, CDC data shows that a whopping 75% had not just one or two or even three, but actually four or more comorbidities when they were recorded as a COVID-19 death. Walensky acknowledged the number during an interview with Good Morning America. The overwhelming number of deaths, over 75%, occurred in people that had at least four comorbidities, so really, these are people who were unwell to begin with. Well, how nice of you to finally say what we've been saying 2 years later, right? How many people out there were scared to death, always thinking in their mind, it doesn't matter what shape you're in. If you get COVID, you have a great chance of dying. How many times were real numbers, real information like this put out by the CDC and the mainstream media during this entire time, right? Never, never, because they wanted you scared and they wanted you to take the shot, and that's it. Now that it's crumbling, now that the narrative is slipping away from them, now that more and more people are saying, I'm not getting the shot no matter what you say to me, no matter what you do, now that more and more people are looking at Dr. Fauci and all of the emails and all of the reports coming out about him and his involvement in creating the illness, falling apart. The narrative is slipping away. They know it, and they're trying to get ahead of it all now. You watch. When this is all said and done, they're going to try to get ahead of this now. They're going to give you the actual numbers. They're going to downplay it. All of a sudden now, the flu is going to come back. Remember, because in the last 2 years, I talked about this last time. The flu used to kill 50,000 people a year. Nobody cared. Nobody raised a finger to try to protect old people or the weak or anything like that. Nobody handed them masks or anything, right? So all of those people that used to die of the flu suddenly didn't die of the flu. The flu just disappeared for 2 years. It's remarkable, right? Now that's all going to come back. All of a sudden, the flu numbers are going to come back. They're going to say COVID is not quite as bad as it used to be. They're going to try to get ahead of all of these stories because they know that you're figuring this out on your own. They know that you're listening to podcasts. They know that you're listening to conservative media, listening to other doctors out there, you know, who have medical degrees, who have worked out there in the field with COVID patients and are just out there spreading accurate information. They know that you people are becoming aware all over the world. They have to get ahead of this story. My prediction is, and maybe I'm going to be wrong on this, they have until the midterms, right? Unless they pass HR 1, we'll mention that later if I remember. I'm going to say it now. HR 1, they passed that. It's over. Get on the phone to Manchin and Sinema and make sure that they vote against this thing. All right, back to this. I think that from between now and the midterms, you're going to see the Democrats insanely try to spin this away from the fact that they were the ones putting out all of this false information. They're going to say, as more and more people realize that you know, that some of these vaccine side effects and deaths and everything are real, they're going to try to get away from the fact that they're the ones that was pushing it on people so, you know, so hard. And they're going to go back to saying, but it was Trump who came up with the vaccines. It was the Republicans who wanted you to take the vaccines. I think that might actually happen. We know how insane they are. We can see them trying to distance themselves from all of this now, right? Slowly but surely, then they're finally releasing real information. I think what they're going to try to do is shift this away from them as much as they possibly can and shift it back to Trump. Now, I don't think that's going to fly, but that's what they're going to try to do. See, here's another story about them trying to get ahead of everything and finally admitting what we've been saying all along, okay? Here's another article. And again, I'm going to take it from the Gateway Pundit because they deserve it. Talk about putting out a lot of articles that people criticize and then getting it right later on. This is where you want to go to hear it first, believe me. So here it is. New York, my little neighbor to right across the river. New York finally releases its first breakdown of people hospitalized for COVID versus people hospitalized with COVID. Now, again, we've been saying it on this podcast, on trillions of others. I'm not saying I'm the one that came up with this. I'm saying I've been talking about it before, and we've known this for a long time. There is a major difference between dying of and dying with COVID. And the controversy that we've been talking about mainly has to do with hospitals accepting and getting money for every COVID death, right? So probably the most famous example that you're all going to remember is the guy that was reported to have crashed in his motorcycle and died in a motorcycle accident, right? Out on the highway. They bring him to the hospital. I don't know if he was already dead or whatever. They test his blood. He's COVID positive. He died of COVID. Okay. mangled in a motorcycle accident, but they say he died of COVID, and the hospital gets the $30,000. Now you know what this was about for the longest time. Cash, scare tactics, and big pharma. And of course, seizure of power. And if we want to keep on going, we talked about it in the last podcast. Obviously, COVID was brought in so that mail-in voting could be brought in, so that the election could be stolen, the Democrats could get back into power and hand power back over to China. But that's the major reason. I'm talking about, you know, more like on a local level. So let's look at this article here. New York State finally released its first breakdown of what share of people are hospitalized for COVID versus how many people are hospitalized with COVID. In New York City, 49% of people hospitalized were admitted for COVID. Everyone else just happened to test positive. So when they tell you, let's just say they say, oh my God, there's 20,000 people this week admitted for COVID. No. Half of those people were in there for something else. That's what they've been doing this entire time, inflating the numbers. In New York City, 51% of patients who count as hospitalized with COVID were admitted for reasons other than COVID and then tested positive for it anyway. So literally, if you went in there for a burn, let's say somebody was cooking in their kitchen in Brooklyn and dropped a pot of boiling water on themselves and went into the hospital for third-degree burns on their hands, and they tested positive for COVID anyway, even if they were asymptomatic, didn't even know they had it, they were listed as being at the hospital for COVID in the past, not with. They're finally admitting that 50% of the people that were in the hospital that were supposed to be there because of COVID just had it incidentally. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine for 2 years they've been getting away with this lie? And you have to start asking yourself, we're seeing this all over the place now. Why are they suddenly all starting to come out and drip the truth out to the public? Right? It's happening all at once. What's going on? Now, it might just be internal polling. It might just be the fact that they're looking at all of these Americans who no longer trust them. There was a study that came out today, not a study, a poll. 31% of Americans trust megalomaniac Dr. Fauci. Okay, after all the lies, after all the information that's come out with him, this latest leak, you know, the government papers, 31% of Americans trust him. Okay, that's basically 70% don't. That's huge. Remember how popular he was in the beginning of all this, the beginning of the pandemic, he was up there with Cuomo. And they were joking about they were the new Pacino and De Niro and all that. I mean, look how far we've come. Only 15.5% trust Joe Biden. No one is buying the lies anymore. Nobody is buying all of this nonsense where they tell you one thing and then 2 weeks later it's another and then a month later it's something else. And they promise they're not going to do something, but then 2 months later they do. And people just are not listening to this anymore. And then they tell you, well, trust us, trust the science. Well, it's hard to trust you when your story changes every couple of weeks. It's not going to fly, and it's not flying anymore. Now, speaking of Fauci, he comes out. Now, this might be the only time he tells the truth in a long while. He says, we're not going to eradicate COVID. Now, he said this before. You know when he said it? In the very, very beginning. In the very beginning, Fauci basically said, probably everybody or nearly everybody is going to be exposed to this virus, okay? Now, this is when they were still saying it's got a very low mortality rate, so it's something to be scared of, but not really. Probably most people are going to get it. Most people are going to be fine. It's going to be like having a bad cold. We're going to get through it eventually, blah, blah, blah. And then they got to the point where nobody could get COVID. You had to get the vaccine. Fauci said that if you took the vaccine, you weren't going to get COVID at all. All of these lies, just ridiculous. But now he's coming back and he's saying on there, let's see what the quote is here. We're not going to eradicate this. We've only done that with smallpox. We're not going to eliminate that. That only happens with mass vaccination programs like with measles. But we will ultimately control it, Fauci said Wednesday morning during a COVID press briefing. Now, I think we've kind of had a mass vaccination program. The only thing is that when you get vaccinated for the measles, You don't catch the measles. You don't get the measles after that, okay? Even if 100% of the American public, sorry, I got a helicopter going by. Even if 100% of us got vaccinated for COVID, that's not going to stop the spread of the disease because apparently it doesn't actually work, right? So take your vaccination program and shove it. If it's not going to stop us from catching and spreading the disease, yeah, you're not going to eradicate this. All it's going to do is turn into an endemic like they're talking about now. That's my little cat that I'm, if you heard a little chirp, I'm cat sitting. First time I've had a cat in the house since my cat Chet died on November 3rd. It's a little odd having a cat here, but it's also been great pet therapy the last couple of days. I got a friend that's traveling, so taking care of their cat. Right, Penny? Yeah, okay. Anyway, sorry about that. So really, this guy is maybe now finally telling the truth about this. This is his one little glimmer of truth that this thing is not going to go away, and it's not. Until we have herd immunity, until the virus gets so weak through all its mutations that it's not spreading anymore and everything else, it's not going to be eradicated. Now, versions of it maybe are going to come around in the future. It's going to be like the common cold or whatever, but the idea that the vaccines are going to take care of this thing is just bunk. Now, one thing I have noticed, I want to see if you've noticed this too. Have you noticed a bunch of pretty famous politicians on the left and even some on the right? Like there was this guy, the West Virginia governor, Jim Justice, right? He said he just got COVID. He's doing it. He's extremely unwell. Now, he's been fully vaccinated and boosted. He's the governor of West Virginia, and he's not doing well. He says, while I was surprised that my test results came back positive, why? I'm thankful to the Lord above that I've been vaccinated, I've been boosted, and that I have an incredible support system, especially my loving family. That being said, I feel extremely unwell at this point, and I have no choice but to postpone my State of the State address, blah, blah, blah. Okay, and he says, go out and get vaccinated. You notice that story going around all over the place, and it's mostly politicians. Yeah, AOC, you have all these politicians that are suddenly all getting COVID. They've all been fully vaccinated. They've all gotten the booster. And the message is, thank God. Yes, I got COVID. Yes, I'm a little bit sick. Yes, I'm having symptoms and I need to quarantine. But thank God I got the vaccine and the booster. And I encourage all of you to go out and do the same. So they're still not going to drop this narrative. They're still trying to get people to go out and get vaccinated. I just wonder, I don't trust politicians. How many of these people actually got COVID and how many people are just saying, I'm COVID positive, but thank God for the booster and the vaccine and the booster. You need to go out and do this too, because look at me. Yes, I got a breakthrough case. Yes, I'm unlucky, but it saved my life. I'm barely sick. I'm okay. I'm going to get through it because I got the vaccine. It just seems so manufactured. The last week or so, we've seen so many people telling the exact same story. Now, what's funny is we got news out of the UK. I think it was yesterday. 4 out of 5 COVID-19 deaths in England since August 16, 2021, according to the UK Health Security Agency's COVID data, have been vaccinated people. Now, I looked up the number of people that are vaccinated in England. It's around 90% of the UK population has had at least one shot. It's shockingly high. If you go to 2 shots, it drops down to 80. I'm assuming if you go to and you want to talk about boosters, I didn't see that info, it drops down even more. But that's still a lot of people vaccinated. So given the fact that these vaccinations don't actually stop you from getting the illness, spreading the illness, and in a lot of cases getting sick, I'm not actually that surprised. Over those 4 months, let's see, I'm coming into the middle of an article here. Over the 4 months, there were 3,070 COVID-19 deaths among the unvaccinated population in England, compared to 12,058 deaths among the vaccinated population during the same time frame. Now, a lot of this goes back to Delta. It's not Omicron, so it was a more virulent strain, if you want to say that. And the fully vaccinated, it says, make up 3 out of every 4 Omicron hospitalizations in England. So, what are we to make out of this? How much protection are you actually getting from the vaccine? Now, one of the things that we talked about last time in terms of conspiracy theories. Now, one conspiracy theory that, of course, we all adopted was it can't be good to get booster after booster after booster of an experimental vaccine when people are already having horrible symptoms and horrible side effects from just the first shot. And even the people that didn't, I have several friends that took three shots and they're absolutely fine. Okay, what about the people that aren't? And for the people that did get the three and they're fine, what about at shot 12, shot 15? You know what I'm saying? We said this can't be good if they're going to make you do it over and over and over again. And we warned that absolutely that's the direction it was going to go. They're going to tell you that the status of your vaccination, you're not going to be fully vaccinated unless you keep up to date with every single booster shot that they tell you. And that's exactly what's happening now. They're saying even people that have three shots, we don't consider you fully vaccinated anymore. You need a fourth. And then next year it's going to be five, six, seven, eight. It's going to keep on going. Well, on Tuesday, European regulators warned that the COVID booster shots could adversely affect the immune system, which was what we talked about also. This was a huge admission for European officials after pushing booster shots just weeks earlier. What happened? Again, look at how all of a sudden real information is trickling out. They're reversing everything. And later on Tuesday, the World Health Organization joined the EU and also condemned the continued booster regimen. What are they seeing now about the mRNA vaccines that they did not see just a month ago? I don't think anything. I think they knew this all along, but for whatever reason, maybe just because they are losing the narrative, maybe because of internal polling, maybe because they can't stop people from protesting in the streets, and they know that this is all going to come crashing down, and they know that Omicron is not killing the masses, and that this is going to create a herd immunity, maybe now they have to get ahead of this and start trickling out real information. All right, now the last thing I want to talk about relatively quickly, because this is another thing where we are winning on, and that's January 6th. Okay, obviously we're winning on COVID. And I know you can say that we still have mandates out there around the world, and you know the Australians are still in camps and stuff like that. But things are changing for the better. Okay, they can't suppress the truth any longer. And as the more people are waking up to this, the harder it is for them. It's also happening with January 6th. One of the things that happened was that Ted Cruz grilled a top FBI official, Jill Sanborn, regarding this Epps guy. This Ray Epps person. Now, if you've seen the video, you got this old guy, Ray Epps. He's dressed in his little military fatigues. He's got his MAGA hat on and all that. And he's at the Capitol. And they have video of him the night before of January 6th. It's the night of January 5th. And he's stirring up the crowd of people around him. He's saying that, you know, we no longer have to just march in front of the Capitol. We need to go into the Capitol. We need to, you know, storm the Capitol and we need to get inside. And everybody was cheering at first. And then when he said that, they were like, wait, wait, what? And then they started pointing at him and chanting Fed, 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 because nobody that showed up for January 6th was violent. No one that went there to go see Trump speak had any intention of breaking into the Capitol and disrupting Congress and all that kind of stuff. They just went there to peacefully protest. You had, gosh, I don't know how many, well over a million people there. Trust me, if they had gone there to take over the Capitol, they could have and would have, and everybody there would have been eliminated. That's not what happened, okay? And you had people like this actually instigating violence. The next day, he was at it again. He brought a bunch of people, stirred them up into a frenzy right in front of the gates where these cops were, saying, you know, the Capitol this way, we got to storm the Capitol and everything else. Now, this guy was actually inciting violence. This guy was inciting an insurrection. This guy was saying, let's go cause some damage. He is a free man. He was on the FBI wanted list for a while, and they say that they talked to him, that he talked to the committee, and he said that he wasn't connected to any kind of law enforcement agency, FBI, any, you know, CIA, anything like that. And they said, okay, and they let him go, and they took him off the wanted list. So they actually have video of him inciting violence. But the people that are in the gulag, basically, in Washington were just peaceful protesters who did absolutely nothing, who were just walking around, who were let inside. They have it on video of cops opening up the gates saying, come this way, yeah, go through that door, whatever, and walking around, taking selfies, holding up a sign, blah, blah, blah. Those people got arrested, hunted down by the FBI in the middle of the night in their homes when they went back home, hunted down, dragged into Washington, thrown in a prison, and there they stay for a year, okay? This guy is a free man. So you know right off the bat that this guy was a Fed. They can say that he's not, but what are the chances? What are the real chances that they have this guy dead to rights on videotape, saying what he was saying, doing what he was doing, promoting, instigating violence, and they just let him go? And instead, they throw other people into jail, you know, toss away the key, who are just standing there. Doesn't that tell you something? So Ted Cruz, he gets this Jill Sanborn woman. She's the executive assistant director of the FBI's National Security Branch. Gets her in a hearing. And this is what he says. How many FBI agents or confidential informants actively participated in the events of January 6th? Sir, I'm sure you can appreciate that I can't go into specifics of sources and methods. Cruz again. Did any FBI agents or confidential informants actively participate in the events of January 6th? Yes or no? Sir, I can't answer that. Now, why can't she answer that? Are you telling me that the director of the FBI, one of the executive assistant director of the FBI, can't say that FBI agents did not participate in the events of January 6th? Wouldn't the obvious answer be, sir, of course not. Of course the FBI did not participate in instigating violence or insurrection. Nobody was undercover pretending to be Trump supporters. Nobody, of course none of us were involved in this. She says, I can't answer that. Cruz goes on. Did any FBI agents or confidential informants commit crimes of violence on January 6th? Sir, I cannot answer that. Did any FBI agents or FBI informants actively encourage and incite crimes of violence on January 6th? Sir, I can't answer that. Ms. Sanborn, who is Ray Epps? There's a long pause. I'm aware of the individual, sir. I don't have the specific background to him. Okay, and then Cruz goes on and he starts showing video of Epps and what he did and everything. Now, if this woman is the executive assistant director of the FBI's National Security Branch, and she's talking about how she can't even talk about this stuff because of sources and methods, but she knows this guy. She's been made aware of this guy, Epps, okay? She doesn't have the specific background on him, then how does she know who he is? Obviously, the guy is either somebody that she knows about, and he is some form of a government, you know, agent, worker, whatever, contractor, anything, something related to the government on the left. Even if he's not, even if he was a regular, let's entertain fantasy and say he was an actual Trump supporter, okay? The fact that she knows his name right off the top of her head tells you that she's been briefed on this guy. So obviously she's lying here. She knows exactly who this guy is. And to say that she has no specific background on him is ridiculous because she knows who he is. She would have been given the brief. Even if the brief was, ma'am, there's a Trump supporter out there who got pretty violent. He was calling for other Trump supporters to storm the Capitol. We interviewed the guy. You know, we talked to him and he's just been misled and he's whatever. He's an ex-Marine. We don't really want to charge him. We let him go. She could have said that, right? But she couldn't say that because it's not true. She's aware of this individual, but she doesn't have any information on him. This whole entire interview was BS. Now, this should have been on the front page of every newspaper in the country. This should have been one of the top stories on every news, news show in the country, but it got buried. Why did it get buried? Because it absolutely shows beyond a shadow of a doubt that the left is lying, has been lying, continues to lie about this entire January 6th narrative, where they were involved, where Pelosi set this up, where the deep state and the Democrats set this whole thing up to make it look like an insurrection. And we see what they're trying to do. They're saying they're trying to use this and trying to get Republicans out there who are going to run for office, disqualified for running from office. Who was it? Was it Pelosi the other day, or was it Obama, said that they were going to flood thousands of lawyers out there to try to stop Republicans from being able to run because of their ties to January 6th, and they would be insurrectionists, right? And they're going to do that. They're going to try to do that with Trump too. So we see what this was all about. I mean, that night, it was about stopping the vote. When they were going to vote, people were going to go in and they were going to present voter fraud evidence right there in front of the American people on C-SPAN while they were doing this, okay? So they couldn't let that happen. They had to create a diversion. They had to make it so all the cameras went away, all the Trump supporters went away, made us look like we were violent, and then they came back, what was it, 2-3 o'clock in the morning and did their vote then when nobody was looking and placed that fumbling idiot as president, right? All of this is just falling apart right in front of everybody's faces. This January 6th committee, they look like idiots. They sound like idiots. They have no proof. They have nothing going for them. And when they do things like this, we just keep looking like we've been right from day one. And we have been right from day one. Now, think about this. Again, I said this in the beginning. If they're losing the narrative on COVID, if those truths are coming out, and now this is happening to the January 6th story, where they just keep making look like fools and the truth is coming out about January 6th. What else do we have? We've got the election. The truth is going to come out about that as well. Look at Pennsylvania, right? They're starting their investigation there in Pennsylvania. I'm not happy about how long all of this has taken. I know you aren't either. But there is no way that all of this information is coming out about COVID, coming out about January 6th, and is not going to come out about the election. I cannot tell you what's going to happen about it once that information comes out. I don't know what our government will do. I don't know what allies we have in the military anymore. I don't know what allies we have in the Republican Party anymore. But if the American people find out the truth, how much power are they ultimately going to have to continue all this nonsense? So that's what we have to be very, very, very optimistic about going forward. And what am I at now? About an hour, something like that. And my voice is starting to fry anyway, and I got to go take care of the cat. So I think I'm going to end it here on a high note. Anyway, let's keep our eye on what's going forward now with the Supreme Court decision and how the left is reacting to it. I haven't watched the news. I don't know. Probably a lot of screaming and yelling and triggering and everything. I'm going to go take care of this little wonderful cat over here and give her some dinner. Hope you guys have a really great weekend coming up, and I will talk to you again soon. Take care. If you like the podcast, please hit the subscribe button. If you know anybody in your family or friends who might like it as well, if you don't mind passing it along to them, that would be great. Take care. Have a good night.